Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll read verses 6 through 10 together. I'll read this passage responsively. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for bringing us here together in your house. Lord, what a wonderful group of people. Lord, I can't imagine going to a church to where people just didn't want to come. Though we have those that wanted to come today and could not, Lord, thank you that our church just doesn't close. Lord, you're there whether we're here or not. And you want to spend time with us whether we want to spend time with you or not. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts and our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
My sermon this evening is going to be very, very practical, very down to earth, a bit like a Bible study, I think. I want to talk to you about the subject of money for a little while. If you have your Bible open there to 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'd like to glance at it again. We read it together a few minutes ago. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 again, if we could. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we started here with verse number 6, 1 Timothy 6, 6, where it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Look back at me, if you will. Here, God is telling us that if we live godly and we will choose to be content, that is great gain for us. Somehow we get the idea the only way of great gain is to get a lot of money. That's not what the Bible's saying here. Now let me tell you something. The reason why I preach a sermon like this, you know, this last year, I really think the devil used the tool of fear and just about scared the United States population to death over the economy and really the world. It's had everybody petrified, living in fear. The world's coming to an end. He actually used money to scare you into thinking that Jesus was coming back. Now, he did not come back in 2009. But understand, the thing of money, it's a very powerful tool. Money can be a powerful tool for God, but money can be a powerful tool for Satan as well. Here, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we see that God is teaching us some things about our money, about our security, about our lives. He says that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. That's not a profound statement, but it'd be good that we all take a good look at it. It'd be good that we all thought about it. We came into this life with nothing, we'll leave with nothing. The only thing you'll take with you is what you sent ahead to heaven. Every investment that you've made in heaven will be there waiting on you, but anything else, you're leaving it behind. You're leaving it all behind. We go on. It says in verse number 8, and having food and raiment, let us there be with content. God's telling us, we've got enough food to stay alive. It's not talking about T-bone steak now. God is saying if you have enough food to keep you alive, enough clothing to keep you from sinning against him and practicing nudity, then he says that we ought to be content. That word content there is made up of two words. It means that you ought to hold it together. Paul said, in whatever state I am therewith to be content, the word contento means being held together. You ought to hold it together emotionally. You ought to hold it together spiritually. You ought to hold it together if you have food and something, some clothes for on your back. Notice it doesn't say anything about $300,000homes, 401k plans, $25,000 vehicles, $1,000, suits, and $300 Gucci handbags. It doesn't say anything about that here. Just saying having food and raiment, being therewith, content, holding it together. We go on. He says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. God's saying money can cause you to become very foolish. It can cause a lot of lust in your life, which drown men in destruction and perdition. In other words, when we talk about something drowning, it pulls you under. It overwhelms you. It takes you over. And finally, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If you look back at me here, the Bible tells us to be careful. Money's taught, and the things of money are taught throughout the Bible. I'm going to teach you a little lesson tonight called Satan and Our Money. Satan and our money. Now, don't let Satan take advantage of your finances. And I want to relax you here. I'm not trying to get money out of you tonight. That is not the purpose of this lesson. I'm going to show you something about Satan and money. I think you'll learn from it. But don't let him take advantage of your finances. Don't let him take advantage of you financially. Don't be ignorant of his devices concerning money. Let me read something to you, and I'll read it to you. You don't have to turn to this one because we're going to turn to some other scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11, it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. God does not want Satan to take advantage or have an advantage on us, and he doesn't want us to be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Now, let me tell you something. There are a lot of characteristics attributed to Satan, and they're bad, and they're evil, and they're wicked. I want you to know that those characteristics or those behaviors of Satan are the very things that he takes advantage of us in regard to our finances with, and those characteristics are the way that he deceives us in regard to our finances. You look at Satan and you describe him, and then you can, in your description of him, you can figure out what he will do when it comes to your money and what he does regarding this thing of money. Satan uses his evil strengths. Satan uses his evil influence on us regarding our money. For instance, Satan is one, he's a blinder. He blinds people. Satan is a liar. He lies. He lies to people. He is a thief. He steals. He's a tempter, the Bible says. He's a trickster. The Bible says he can transform himself. The Bible says he is a devourer. The Bible says that he does all of those things. He's the disobedient one. Now, when we describe Satan, well, I just described him using about 8 different descriptions. Let me tell you something. If Satan is able to deceive you and I, if Satan is going to take advantage or get an advantage on us or take advantage of us, he's going to use those very characteristics. Now, notice in the Bible it said that the love of money is the root of all evil. I want you to make sure you understand something. It does not say that money is the root of all evil. You could have all the money this world has to offer and not do evil. You can have money and not be evil with it. But it says here, when you love money, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I don't like evil. And I happen to know who the evil one is. We talk about Satan being the evil one. Now remember, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I know who the evil one is. If I can figure out something about the evil one, maybe I could figure out his devices and what he does to me, to us, in regard to our money. Let's look at how the evil one behaves, and let's see how that affects us financially. For instance, we said earlier in the descriptions that I gave you that Satan is a blinder. He's a blinder. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. I want you to turn very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4. He is a blinder. 2 Corinthians 4, 4, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Here, look back at me now. Here the Bible says, the God of this world, if you notice there, the word God there is not capitalized. It's a little g. That means it's a false god. It's not Jehovah God. And it says here that this God of the world, which is Satan, it's the devil, it's Lucifer, it's Beelzebub that's being mentioned here. And you say, what is the characteristic that's being attributed to him? He blinds people. All right. Now, we know that the love of money is the root of all evil. We know that Satan is the evil one. And here, he is described as one that blinds the human race. Okay, what does he do then in regard to your money? He blinds you about some things. I promise you. He blinds you to the point of you waste money. He's very good at it. He does it on a daily basis. We work very hard to get our money, and then he comes along and he blinds us about the waste of our money. He blinds us about the outcome of our misuse of our money. He's a blinder. He moves in. He puts blinders on us. He makes it so we're not seeing clearly. He makes it so we're in the dark. He makes it so we're in the dark today about how our misuse of our money is going to affect our tomorrow. He blinds the importance of doing right by God financially. What is he? He's a blinder. Everybody here knows it. Everybody here that's ever had any money knows the devil can come along and he blinds you in regard to your money. There's a moment that you're doing just fine. The next minute you're looking back and say, where did it go? You say, I didn't even see where that went. Right. A characteristic of Satan is he blinds people. And we know that he is the evil one. And the love of money is the root of all evil. So the evil one blinds us about our money. And we could talk about that one point for the next 35 minutes, how he blinds us. But let's look at another characteristic of the evil one so we can see how he then affects us in our finances in regard to it. Number two, he's a liar. He's a liar. Take your Bible and turn to John 8, 44. John chapter 8, verse number 44. In John 8, 44, we learn that he is a liar. The Bible says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Okay? Now, what am I saying? I'm saying that the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil, and we know who evil originates with. If we can learn about him, we'll figure out some of his devices and what he does to us in regard to our money. Now, we know he's a liar. So what does he do then? He lies to us about the fact that money will make you happy. He lies to us. Listen, money won't make you happy. You can't buy happiness. And some of you are saying, well, I'd like to give it a whirl. But you can't buy happiness. Some of the richest people in the world are the most miserable people in the world.